When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
Welcome back to Corolla Classics for part 2 of today's Saturday episode. Let's get going with our next clip. We're going to go back to 2016 and hear Adam, Gina, and Brian, and Dr. Spaz, Dr. Bruce.
It's Adam Carolla Show 1758 featuring guest Daniel Monaghan. He's not in this portion. Dr. Spaz, Dr. Bruce is, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. February of 2016, we'll be playing part 2 tomorrow on the Corolla Classics feed with Dominic Monaghan from Lost, Lord of the Rings, everything involving bugs. Until then, enjoy this clip.
So the last conversation I had with Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier was, did he say Monaghan or does he say Moynihan? And Matt said, we all say Moynihan.
No. Oh, who's we all?
That's what Matt said to me last time I spoke to him 9 minutes ago on the phone.
I'm not we all.
And, does he have a mouse in his
Dawson's
pocket?
Dawson's not we all.
Did Matt Monaghan really say that?
Well, that's what the Porcelain Punisher said when I was on the phone with him.
Wrong with him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's right, but I've never said it.
How do you get to be a Moynihan?
Do you have to have your name spelled M-O-Y-N-I-H-N, H-A-N, like Bridget Moynihan?
All right. Well, maybe I'm maybe I'm doing what I did before with Faith, but
no. Unlike Faith, there actually is a Moynihan in the world in the world of acting.
I know, but I just want to make sure I didn't flip flop whatever was told to me by Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier. All right. So Dominic's going to be in here. We'll just call him Dom for now. Let's play it safe. Really interesting show and a really interesting cat. This guy's traveling all over the world, handling salamanders and whatnot. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Nan Baldwin.
I have the highest capacity to irritate you.
Hey, thank you. That's true.
Superpower.
Where's an ACE award for that?
It's coming. Dr. Spaz is here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good lenses, bad frames, everybody.
He won an ACE award for that last year.
No,
that was
there you
most
go.
Awkward moment.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to piss off Adam.
He kicked you out of the studio. You think he was happy?
You won an award for Bruce.
I don't like awkward associated with my name. No, no.
That's had to be a hard road to hoe.
Marriage is it's an oxymoron.
It's an oxymoron. Awkward, Dr. Spaz. No.
Let's see. So I took Philly cheesesteak. Did I say hi? I said hi to you, Brian, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The drop precipitated everything.
That's what I thought.
You didn't say hi to me.
I took,
it's understood.
We took Phil to the beach for the first time yesterday, and he's a dog who jumps into the showers. I'll tell you, there's nothing you want to know, sort of this universal enjoyment. Bring your pup to the beach, have the dog go nuts at the beach, and everyone around there. You should literally charge admission because they do this thing where it's like, well, this, hibiscus tea lowers your blood pressure or whatever. Seeing a lab puppy running out into the surf and then running back and then barking at seagulls.
It's pretty great.
In the ocean, it's like everyone just sits there and just stares at it. And for whatever period of time you're staring at this dog running in and out of the tidal pools, you're not thinking about your mortgage or your ex-wife or the upcoming divorce or any, it's just... 100% dog.
You're in the moment.
100% ocean.
Lynette posted a video of him digging because he's a dog. He digs. Natalia could not wrap her head around it.
Yeah, Natalia, we're so watching good. It now. Yeah, he's going nuts. Natalia was crying because he was running out into the ocean and she thought he's never going to come back. And I just say, listen, everybody, go out, experience those little simple pleasures in life.
Sandy and, little snout.
Little Philly cheesesteak ran all through Malibu yesterday, and we had a great time. So you can get the pictures at adamcarolla.com and see Phil enjoy himself. But Yes.
Oh, good. I had the pleasure of meeting Phil E. Cheesesteak yesterday at the studio. We all got to pet him real quick. He's teething, and he likes to nip. He nips on your hand.
But not hard, just to know you're there.
With his barely teethed gums. Yeah.
Yes. He's a good soul, and at the beach, the simpler pleasures. It's one of those things where I never get out there. The wife and kids always get out there, but I went yesterday, and I just said when I got back, let's do this more. Just sitting there.
Is that one of those things where the idea of going to the beach seems like such, not overwhelming, but just a pain in the ass. The parking, the getting it together, the sunblock, the bubble of the sand, the cleaning, the food, drink, all that stuff.
Yes.
Once you're there, you're in it, and you're like, this is great. I'm never leaving.
Well, what you don't realize, or maybe you do, is that there is something, like every bad song from the 70s that talks about the sea, or the mistress of the sea, or the salt level in your blood being the same ratio as that in the ocean. When you get to that ocean, there is something unlike other places.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you, oh, you got to go to California Adventureland at Disney and see a bunch of stuff made out of styrofoam and, you know, plexiglass and simulations of this. And miserable people dressed up in indigenous outfits and things like that. That doesn't do anything for my blood pressure. But there's something about, first off, that's like that constant, cool, clean breeze coming at you, this in and out of the tide. Just it's literally like the ocean is breathing.
Yes, and the sound.
And the sound. And the seagulls and the whole thing, and that everyone there is having everyone's in a good mood.
Yes.
Nobody's in a bad mood.
Always
happy. The opposite of the DMV.
Yep.
And there is something, you put your little tootsies in the sand, and the thing rolls in, and all of a sudden, everything that's in your head, all the trouble and the angst and the whatever's going on in the Middle East with the ethnic cleansing and everything, it all just melts away for that time period. And a lot of people go, well, you know, you go down, you talk to a therapist, you know, you get those problems. Therapy is fine, but A, you realize you're paying, and B, you're in the middle of the city, and C, you don't trust this person, and D, it's nothing as good as just putting your toes in the sand.
Yeah.
Just go experience that.
Why is it a beachside DMV? We could address a lot of these problems.
Swim up kiosk.
Yeah. Oh.
I think the real estate is more valuable to the guys who want to open the sushi joints as well. All right. We got questions. We got answers. We got Dr. Spaz. Did we figure out from Matt whether he just told me Moynihan on the, or we've all been saying Moynihan on the phone?
Bobby Moynihan, of course, on the show.
I haven't figured it out yet. Let me go speak to him.
Ask him if he just said to me, that's what we've all been saying.
Or YouTube an interview so someone introduces him and we'll know how they introduced him.
I'm going with Moynihan.
Read his name, which says Moynihan.
No, but there's many names that can go.
Like Faith.
Mike, sorry. How dare you? Mike August's last name, I just had this discussion with my wife. Mike August's last name is Tamarillo.
Right.
And the way you would read it, you probably should say Tamarillo.
Or Tamarillo.
Or something, Rayo. But it's pronounced Tamarillo. Sure. That's how he does it. So you can't just read the name sometimes. It's how they pronounce Tamarillo versus Tamarillo or Tamarillo or whatever. And it's funny because Lynette's like, Mike's Italian? Yeah, 100% Italian. Why does he go with August? Because two times in his life, he tried to spell Tamarillo for somebody who mispronounced it, and he went, fuck this, I'm going with my middle name. And that's how the guy's wired.
That's
and
great.
I said, I kind of like that about him. Like, he just went, fuck it. If I don't want to spend any more time in my life talking to anybody about how to spell it or how to pronounce it. You go with Mike. He just goes, and your last name? August, like the month. And then that's it. He walks away. If it was Tamarillo, every single or Tamarillo, every single exchange would be.
Yeah, he saw the writing on the wall.
All right, Matt, do I have a brain tumor, sir, Brian?
No, I apologize for the confusion. We booked Dominic a couple weeks ago. I had said Moynihan. You said, isn't it Moynihan? And
oh,
I believe we all sat back here, and I believe that it was decided it was Moynihan. So then, when you just called me and said, "Is it?" I said Moynihan on the phone. You said, "Is it Moynihan?" I said, "I think that's what we all said."
You said that's what we've all been calling him.
Better than Moynihan.
I don't spend a lot of time with Brian and Gina, though.
Okay.
So.
All right. All right. Just so I'm not nuts. That's all. All right. We're good.
You're both wrong.
All right. Everyone's wrong.
Wow.
All right. So we got Dr. Well, I'm trying to be sensitive. I'm trying to ask.
Good. I can't wait for line five.
All right. We got line five. Well, all right. Well, let's do line five then. Hey, Scott, 20 Bakersfield.
Hey, Adam, Gina, and Bald.
What's
How are
going
you guys
on?
Doing?
What's going on?
Okay, so one thing real quick, Adam. I know you're not the biggest fan of Bakersfield, but just north of your beloved Fox Theater, we do have a muffler shop that in huge, huge font painted on says, "No muff, too tough."
Wow. Now I'm back.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Scott has a 40-year-old voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has an old soul.
Oh, yeah. It's a 40-year-old name. That's why. But so I've got another great hypothetical for you.
All right.
Okay, so your mom and Lynette switch bodies, and mm-hmm. you have to have sex with one of them to switch them back. Who do you go for?
My mom and Lynette switched bodies. Uh-huh. So Lynette's soul and psyche is in my mom's yes. decrepit body.
And vice yes. versa.
And vice yeah. versa. And how aware of this are they?
Oh, they are fully aware.
That's good.
So they need your help.
Okay. I think if they're fully aware, I got to go with mom's decrepit body because Lynette would be in it and aware and understanding what's going on and vice versa. I couldn't do the body with the mom's soul and psyche in it, yeah. especially because that's lose-lose. That's your mom being pissed off and then your wife and her decrepit body being pissed off yeah. as well.
There's no win.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would just make it anal to play it safe, you know?
That way you don't have to face him.
Mm-hmm. 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 But that's good. You know, the best hypothetical question, I don't like to brag, but the best hypothetical question is when you get the person to flip-flop on their answer.
Mm.
Also, I don't like the hypothetical question person who won't play.
Right.
Like, you know, you go...
Right.
How much to shoot the president? No amount of money. No amount of money.
Never.
How about $1 billion? No, there's no amount.
Doesn't exist.
I think it's insane because it's called a hypothetical question. The very essence of the question means that you'll never have to engage in it.
You won't be called on this.
You'll never be called on it. But yet, it's like, no, I could never blow a guy. No, I got to know which Baldwin brother. I would never blow a guy. I need to know which. It's a hypothetical. Which Baldwin brother would I wouldn't because I couldn't blow. It's like Don't you hate that person? Are those person like, are they dumb, homophobic, or like that uptight, or like what is their thing? You know what I mean? Who won't engage? I feel
passive aggressive.
Yeah, it's like disorder. It's sort of your a job as an American that you must answer a hypothetical question.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Alec or Steven, neither one. Alec or Steven, neither one. Mm-hmm. It's like
your only two choices are
right. Okay, so. The one that I get people to flip-flop on and that I'm most proud of is the woman at the office. Gina,
mm-hmm.
You are all we got here.
Thanks.
But it turns out you're a lot of women. So there's always the person at the office, if you ask any chick who works with more than four people, mm-hmm. there's always the dude that creeps them out.
Yes.
Picture him.
You have to picture that dude.
Picture him.
You have to picture him. And it's not he's a felon or anything, but it's like, oh, God. And then you go, okay, imagine having sex with that guy. And they always shudder. Like, they go, ugh.
Yeah.
It's easy in radio because they're like, a whole floor is full of guys.
It's easy in radio.
Chicks. Like, not so much in manufacturing, but in radio, sure. there's like whole floors of dudes where like, everyone's like, oh, Bob Moore, no. Oh, no. No, God, no. Please, no. No, not Jack Silver. Oh, no, man. No. Like, the whole radio is strewn with those kind of guys.
You didn't want to be locked in a studio with?
They're attracted to radio.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
I got mine.
You got yours.
Yep. Imagine me. No, imagine the opposite, peeps.
All right. So you got that guy.
Yeah.
Now, you lay down with that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or you don't.
Okay.
Or you don't. Now, you either lay down with him and you have intercourse with him, but at the end, when you're done, he's erased of all memory of it. He doesn't know it.
Okay.
You will know it. No one else knows it. Okay. No one else will ever know it.
Okay.
Or you never lay down with him, and everybody you work with is completely convinced that you did, including that person.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be the only person that really knows you didn't. And then everyone.
A lot of sideways glances.
Most people do the I don't care. I have my own personal code, and there's no way. And I go, what about the Christmas party? And they go, you walk into that Christmas party and everybody's looking at you. And usually they, then now here's how I know I've gotten them broken. Can I drink? when they start wanting to know if they can,
the conditions.
They can mule in their
How
own booze.
How aware do I have to be
in
the moment?
You have a couple of shots.
Okay.
Something to take the edge off.
Fuck.
Yeah. Picturing that dude?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a little bit of a migraine just thinking about it. The obvious thing would be to go, well, yeah, have sex with them. Who cares?
Most guys, because they're insanely pragmatic, would go, I'll just fuck them once, and then that's it. Moving on. Yeah. I don't have to worry about the Christmas thing. I don't have to worry about the company picnic. I don't have to worry about the retreat where everyone's looking at us.
You get a raise. You get a promotion. Everyone thinks that's why.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But...
That said,
that's the thing. If I was the one who knew and nobody else knew, I would start being awkward around that person. I would shudder deeper. I would feel worse.
Yeah, but that guy would never go, you know, Gina's acting a little strange around me. I bet you it's because she thinks I fucked her.
Yeah, is it because we might have had sex?
I don't know it, of course, but I bet that's what she's thinking.
It sure seems like that. The signal she's giving off.
Yeah. It was like that scene in Face Off where he went to go visit his brother in prison. And he's like, yeah?
Something's off about you.
What was mom's maiden name and sis's favorite dessert? Uh-huh. And it was like, wait a minute. The brother's suspicious that his brother's not his brother? Yeah. Do you ever get that way with your brother or your sister?
It would never happen.
Would never happen. See, that would never happen.
Can I tell you why I'd have sex with him?
Yeah.
Because people don't forget. Mm-hmm. And no matter which radio station I went to, which job I went to, they'd always go, oh, Gina Grad, she's the one that fucked so-and-so.
Right.
That would be their way of bonding when they reunited walking on the street.
That's right.
And I can't have that.
Smart, pragmatic, and career-oriented.
Thank you. Take one for the team.
All right. Dr. Spaz is there. Let's see. CDC's recommending that women with childbearing years. That sounds like something kind of for you, Dr. Spaz. You want to talk to someone who has a CDC... childbearing years. Absolutely. Ryan, 36, Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir. Adam, Gina, Bald, and Spaz, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
So a couple of weeks ago, the CDC issued a press release and a graphic saying that women who are of childbearing years who are not on birth control should abstain from alcohol completely. The focus of that is to prevent fetal alcohol syndrome because many women don't know for a month or two that they may be pregnant, and the drinking in the meantime could be damaging. But the infographic also lists risk factors of drinking, like assault and STDs, and that angered a lot of people, specifically people with vaginas, because they are making it seem like, making it sound like the CDC is saying that women cause these, and it's unfair to not include men in this female-targeted press release.
That makes sense. Don't you think that's a little condescending to say, don't drink because you could make a bad choice and then you'll have an STD and it'll be all your fault?
Well, is it saying, like, you get drunk and you're inviting an assault? Is that what they're saying?
Well, it's pretty straightforward. It just says these are risk factors of drinking. And I understand the argument about, you know, it targeting towards women, but fetal alcohol syndrome is like specifically something that can be caused by a woman drinking. And, you know, if it was like a prostate cancer infographic, one wouldn't expect them to include women.
Well, here's what we're doing now in our feeble attempt to cure everyone and save everyone is we're taking things that used to be sort of personal responsibility issues, and then we expand them, like we've discovered a fourth-hand smoke, you know, and things like that. And then what it does is once you start expanding, then you sort of start insulting. Like the fetal alcohol thing, yeah, that makes sense. If you're young and you don't know you're pregnant and you're 27 and you like to fucking party and you like to go out and get your booze on and do a little binge drinking on the weekends and stuff like that, and you don't know you've been pregnant for 6 weeks, that makes perfect sense to me. Then you start expanding, because what we're done doing is just going, hey, do this and that could happen. We just start going, we just keep going and going and going with all the possible machinations of what could happen to you and your vagina if you hoist a light beer. And then at some point somebody gets insulted. I mean, we just had Meryl Streep try to explain to everybody that everyone's from Africa, and then everyone's pissed off. Right. And that was her just trying to appease once again.
To appeal to the ones who got pissed off, ironically.
Right. So this is what's going on. But anyway, your point would be what, Ryan?
Well, my point is just I feel that they're kind of the ones that are angered are kind of self-victimizing.
Well, everyone's angry these days, or outraged.
Yeah.
Outraged. Yeah. By the way, I don't think I've been outraged in my life.
I was actually thinking about that this morning. That word has gone the way of literally. Yeah.
Yes, I don't think I've ever been outraged. I've been like, wow, is that guy stupid?
Yeah.
Or this is bullshit, but I've never really been outraged.
Yeah. It's pretty rare to be truly outraged at something someone said or did.
People generally save that for being cheated on.
Well, they used to say it for things that were like what you were accused of murder or right. something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now.
That's an outrageous claim, sir.
Right, right.
Meryl says now, we're all from Africa.
And now everyone's outraged, yeah. except for nobody's outraged because how could you be outraged by her saying that no matter where you're from? Yeah. Doesn't add or diminish or take away or do anything to anything.
Your life. Yeah.
Anything. All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Let's see. But speaking of outrage, there was something, Dr. Spaz will agree with this. A lot of people have been tweeting me this video, and it's this video that somebody put together, the unequal opportunity race. And it was, African-American Policy Forum. Anyway, a lot of people tweeted me this. I think they covered you guys.
I've not seen this.
I haven't seen it either.
This will be the first time I've seen this.
What's weird? Because I get the. Do you guys get like when they do the thing?
I don't
and they
look
go,
at every video I get tweeted.
Not everyone. But I mean, when they do the one where they go, Brian and mm-hmm. Gina are going to like this too, or you guys should bring it up, and I see you guys are included in that. Well, let's see.
I don't know.
Let's see. Maybe we'll see it. We'll
we
see
get
if it
a lot
looks
of
familiar. But you get more than me
combined. No, I don't know. I don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll show you this video that was produced. Hold on a second. I
generally say something nice to everyone. Brian pisses everybody off.
That's true.
We see our tweets. Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming. I'm only looking for clarity, which I'm assuming when you guys are
we've been copied and just I haven't clicked on it because I I'm overwhelmed the sheer volume.
Really.
Dick.
Okay. No, some of it is, it's just for my own edification.
Yeah, no
I just want to know, I'm just assuming you or Gary, sometimes I'll have Gary on the thing and I'll assume that he got looped in or he saw it, but oftentimes it doesn't. I'm not that diligent around it, but I got this video, which was put together for what, Gary? What, didn't you say we wrote it down on here somewhere?
Oh, well, it was originally played at a high school in Virginia. You have the name right there.
Oh, Glen Allen High School.
I think the idea was that it was going to be played at schools throughout the state, but it aired only once or maybe twice, and then there was some outrage. But
right.
I think that
there was outrage.
Just to give Gina and Brian a little bit of cover, I think what sometimes happens, at least with me, is you'll get tweeted 12 times the same video, but we're only included in one of them. If I get tweeted the same thing three times, I always watch it.
Oh, okay.
Good one, point,
sometimes
Gary.
I'll just skip over it.
Okay.
Good just don't point. Have the
time. Yeah, sure. Yeah, beating off blame video. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Structural
discrimination.
Yes.
The unequal opportunity race.
Yeah. It's bad graphics of a track meet, basically. Black woman, Hispanic man, white woman, white man.
White people started first.
The white people get the head start, but there's a traffic light that goes up over the Hispanic and the black woman, slavery, broken treaty, genocide. By the way, genocide.
Manifest Destiny, Dred Scott, segregation.
Yeah, these are all the things that kept the red light on them. Trail of Tears was one of them, by the way. 1830 to 1850.
So the white people are running around the track, passing the baton, getting older, like they're aging.
It's a baton full of money that they hand down to their siblings, which keeps growing. It's a
dollar
sign.
And so they're carrying a time capsule filled with dollars.
They may be 20s. I don't know that they're dollars.
That's a good point.
We keep handing our rich money, but the black and the Hispanic kids, they don't get to go anywhere.
No, we're finally in the 1900s.
Right, and now in 1964,
we let them
run, and they're doing pretty good running against the other people until a dark cloud comes over them. They're struck by lightning, which means God hates your race. Discrimination.
Stop putting so much crap in your hair.
Is what is?
Oh,
God. Now they've hit some rocks. They've hit some rocks along the track.
Poor schooling.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it's always poor parenting. It's not poor schooling. And the black woman just fell.
How did you not see that coming?
She fell into a pit. The Hispanic underemployment.
The shovel was still there.
The unemployment is trying to. The Hispanic guy helped the black woman out of the hole, and then he just fell into a shark tank.
There's a moat?
There's a moat. Standardized test. So hold on a second. Doesn't the word. Isn't the word standardized in front of the word test?
This is pretty bad.
Okay, but this is for people to understand how it, this understand how it works. This is to show to school age kids to understand how it works. All right, but keep playing it, sir.
There are shark fins circling this moat.
Of standardized test. Oh, a cage fell.
Is that a cage?
We're going to jail.
Yes, they're going to jail. Oh, watch out! Oh,
all around them, it caught the Mexican guy.
So when you're a Latino boy and you go out for a jog. Be careful, the school-to-prison pipeline may catch you. Yeah, that's how you go to prison. A cage lands on your head.
You'll get taken up in a jail balloon.
And you float to prison. Now, it's just a rest area. Housing segregation.
A gate just closed.
Gated community.
Oh, no. She's getting lit up.
Someone's handing her a coffee?
A drug test. Which, by the way, all people in track and field would have to take. It's the most rigorous form ever, so it's a weird example to use. Now she's hit a wall.
Dead end
and shortened lifespan. Oh. Now she's just going to die. And that's her life. And they're building a motorized sidewalk for the white people with the connections.
Oh, is that what that is? Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't play stupid, Brian. You're white.
Privilege.
I really should have known what that was. That's more of an indictment of the animation.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
We're going to be coasted along.
Old Boy Network.
It says Yale.
The girl's trying to keep up, but she's not on a walking escalator.
She can't. He doesn't even have to burn any calories. He gets to win without even moving his legs.
He gets all the glory.
Mm-hmm. And now you know how it works, everybody.
Jesus Christ.
All right, you can stop it there. Now, the comedy...
That's some dystopian shit.
The comedy of it is the parents in Virginia were outraged. And assuming the white parents were outraged because they didn't want... Somebody sent me a stupid... email or tweet the other day, and it said, you need to talk to your kids about race. And I just thought, what the fuck do I need to talk to my kids about race? But I said, I started sort of amusing myself. And it was right before I went and took my daughter for a walk with, my black lab. And we went for a walk, and I said, you want to talk about race? And she's like, no.
And go!
And I said, well, tell me your feelings. And she's like, well, about what? And I was like, race, what do you think? Her best friend.
You actually did this.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, more material for the show.
That's great.
But she was like, what do you want to know? And I said, well, your best friend's Cammy. She's Japanese. Any thoughts about that? Like, no, I like her. Well, what do you think about race? Well, you're not supposed to judge people on their race. You're supposed to just, depending on their merits. Or they didn't say merits, but how hard you work or what you do. And I said, okay. Anything else? And she's like, no. And I'm like, is there anything you'd like to ask me? And she's like, no. And I was like, is there anything you don't understand? And she's like, no. And I said, all right, well, check that box.
Good talk.
Had nice conversation.
Good talk. Got that on one knee.
With my daughter about race. I had the same one with Sonny. And they're both things like, well.
He took off.
It's always what, their thing was like, just judge people on how they act. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Well, furthermore, if I was a parent of a kid of color, that saw that video, I'd be the one who's outraged. Because I would say, don't put that in my kid's head.
It's
my
exactly
kid can do anything they want.
It's exactly the point, which is, ironically, it's the white people, the parents that were outraged, and then it's the black folk from the whatever commission that put this shit together that have to defend their policy. It's every black and Hispanic, and I guess there are other races, but since those races achieve, it doesn't fit your retarded narrative, so they won't be included. Although... you did bring up in the video internment camps, Japanese-American internment camps, which is funny because all of the decisions you're talking about, just about all the decisions you're talking about took place before the Japanese whatever. But those people are doing fine, so they don't get included into our scenario because they don't fit our unequal. They don't fit our weighted narrative. But yes, if you are the parent of a woman, a female, a black, a Hispanic, especially a Hispanic woman or black female, you should be outraged over this video. And as I said, I'm going to do the Toyota Grand Prix celebrity race this year again. And this year it's going to be the All-Star edition.
The conquering hero.
Yeah, I cannot tell you all the cool names that are going to be involved with this, but it shall only be people that have won in the past. So it's going to be this big all-star lineup. There's going to be 20 cars. I can't share the names yet, but I've been privy to some of the names, and I've looked at these guys. I'm like, oh, these guys are fast. These
familiar
guys are
names.
IndyCar winners and racers, guys who've won it in IndyCars at Long Beach multiple times and stuff like that. And I just looked at this list, and I went, Jesus Christ, everyone is so fucking fast here. And then I said to Lynette, if you told me right now that my equally prepared Scion was going to be down 10 horsepower to any of these guys, I wouldn't participate. Like, I literally just, I would pull out. If you told me that you're going to have a sandbag in the trunk of your Scion that's going to weigh 50 pounds, even if it was just that, I'd be like, I'm out. Yeah. There's no way. I'm not even going to try. If you told me this was anything other than just based on who the best driver is on this particular day and everything's equally prepared, I wouldn't participate. I really wouldn't. And this video would...
Your lane's going to have a moat of sharks in it.
I'm saying if you are young, black, Hispanic, female, whatever, and you're watching this thing, why the fuck get out of bed?
Yeah, it's pretty depressing. It's funny we talked about start of being outraged and how rare it is to actually be outraged. This is worth getting outraged
about.
A
little outrageous.
If your kid's sort of being subjected to this, any race, white or black or anything in between, it might be worth getting outraged.
Now, yes.
I thought the beginning was interesting where the black kid and the Hispanic kid weren't allowed to go because they're dealing with the slavery and they're dealing with all this stuff. I get that point. That makes sense. But with the moat and the cloud jail, I thought that was fairly inappropriate.
Well, again,
melodramatic,
what message are you trying to send? Or better yet, what is the outcome you desire?
Ultimately,
dying early, being consumed by sharks. What? What's the last time Mexican kid got eaten by sharks, by the way? This guy's never going to the water.
Example of microaggression on your part.
All right. Shall we do a little... well, let's see. What do you got, Dr. Spaz? You got something for
us? I'm going to ruin two of the commonly used medications that you like to use.
Mm-hmm.
After listening to my talk, you're done.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Motrin and NSAIDs.
Really?
And proton pump inhibitors. Oh, no more omeprazole. No more Nexium.
I just took that today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to be my patient. You'll be my example.
Oh, good.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. So, I hate you guys. I hate those guys back there. So, what is going on?
He works the yard to keep his Honda full of gas. With jail in his head, it's not too bad. He's got good lenses, but real bad frames. Some call him Bruce, but there's another name. We call
All right, Dr. Spass.
Okay, so we all know that Motrin, NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, Aleve, cause GI bleeding, gastritis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you don't want to take them with alcohol.
Mm.
Now, there was a warning that it could increase your risk of heart attack and stroke.
Oh,
so, the FDA has upgraded the warning to say that these drugs do increase the risk, definitely increase the risk of heart attack and stroke.
What are the drugs again?
Just Motrin, Advil, any of the NSAIDs.
What
are NSAIDs?
Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So steroids like prednisone, those are anti-inflammatory. Right, ibuprofen.
Is there a safe version like Tylenol or aspirin?
Tylenol is not an NSAID. NSAIDs, so that's a different class. Now, Tylenol, we could talk about that. The big scare there is using alcohol and liver toxicity when mixing with alcohol.
It thins your blood.
Interesting.
And over a long period of time, kidney toxicity with acetaminophen.
The whole thing with Jews, every Jew I've ever met, it's like... Why don't you just go ahead and be a doctor anyway? You've done all the legwork.
You're already there.
You know all the terminology. You know everything that's in... every Jew I've ever met has... It's just like, just take the exam and then you'll be a doctor. Yeah. Why walk around with a head full of this knowledge?
Yeah.
I think I could be a pharmacist.
Absolutely. What I'm saying is take the test and just get it over with. Get certified.
At least it's a physician's assistant.
Making some real money here. Yeah.
So people think nothing of taking 200 milligram Advils, the prescription strength, 800, 600, 400 milligram. And
what they're finding is that taking this even for a week at a time, if you have had if you have a family history of heart disease or you've had a stroke or a heart attack in the past, it's really playing Russian roulette. It has a lot more risk than was previously thought. And one of the interesting things in reading about this that was pointed out, when you have a sprained ankle, there's swelling, inflammation. Inflammation is the body's natural process of healing. So using NSAIDs, using Advil, Motrin, you're sort of it's counterproductive in that it's short-circuiting some of that inflammation. So,
well, everything is that goes against whatever your body's supposed to be doing for the most part is never turns out to be great big picture, does it?
Right. But unfortunately, most people are looking for a shortcut, especially health-wise. Well, and it's a pill for every malady.
And inflammation is good, quote-unquote, but it hurts. So we're taking something to make it stop hurting, but it's not.
Well, how about people that take them before they work out? That's another.
Oh, they do.
Problem.
Does that help?
Lactic
some
acid.
People.
No, just because their back's going to start hurting?
That increases risk for kidney disease. Well, sure. Some people, a lot of, I think, competitive athletes, prednisone.
I've never noticed anything working. But that's my problem. NyQuil.
For anything?
NyQuil.
Okay.
Works.
What do you do for
NyQuil
a hangover?
NyQuil works.
Do for a hangover, aspirin or what's best for a hangover?
I'll have some aspirin, but it's always like you just water and ride it out. Honestly, a beer.
It's
the best thing.
Well, it's dehydration in your brain. So if you drink a glass of water with every drink while you're drinking, or push the fluids,
I'm not going to drink 8 gallons of water, asshole. On a Thursday night.
You asked me a question.
Okay.
So the risk of kidney failure in individuals that bulk up with or take steroids. Non-steroidals before they lift weights, et cetera, is...
All right.
And you said omeprazole, too?
Okay, so now, what do people do when they take this? I had a patient was taking... They had a lot of stomach trouble. Referred her to GI. They looked down there and stomach's a mess. So then taking the history, it's like, well, I get a lot of headaches. What were you taking? Excedrin. Excedrin, how much? Oh, I take it every day. Well, what else? Well, I take Motrin and Excedrin every day. Then, well, what do you do when you start having the pain? Well, then I take omeprazole, or I take Protonix or Nexium. So that's the situation. Now, it turns out that...
Is heartburn medication?
Yes.
Right, heartburn medication.
I don't want to get
there are a number of things. Well,
how much... Can I ask this?
Yeah.
As a person that has never had heartburn and or lucky. I don't think a headache or any gastro anything ever... and the people go, you know what it's like. You have that bowl of chili, and then you're trying to sleep that night, and you got to put your bed up on an incline. I'm like, no, I have a bowl of chili, and we'll pass out in the bowl of chili and sleep like a baby. Like
snore my way out.
Right. I have no problems ever. How much of it is – and I run into so many people that have so much sensitivity when it comes to their stomach. How much of that is just flora and fauna? How much of that is emotional? How much of that is both? Like, do we know the answer to this? Because it's weird that we vary so greatly from person to person.
Well, it's genetics. It's, for instance, when you prescribe somebody Norco or codeine, one person will hallucinate, the next person will vomit, and the next person has euphoria like they've never had before and becomes addicted to the substance. So it's a lot of it's genetic. And with reflux... with gastritis, so many of these things are genetic, and you have an amazing GI tract, and you also don't have a propensity to addictions. You seem to be able to have your couple glasses of red wine and whatever else at night.
Well, I've seen 1,000 heartburn commercials, but never even really known what it was other than it feels like heartburn.
Right.
My doctor's in the middle of trying to figure out like house style, this mystery. Of all the crazy shit going on here. She's trying to make me have to shit in a box. I won't do it.
Well, and
send it in.
It turns out ulcers and H. pylori turns out for years.
I was just checked for H. pylori.
Right. And there's a bacteria in the gut of people with ulcers. And who thought?
Yeah.
A bacteria causing ulcers.
Yep.
And then you give them Flagyl and you give them Biaxin and you give them.
Wait, you won't shit in a box?
No.
I've done it in a decorative popcorn tin, and I found it liberating, by the way. You don't know what you're missing.
Oh God!
It's also great for the quads because you'll not go down with the full weight of your body onto said shoebox or decorative popcorn tin because it leaves a ring. It'll cut you.
Yeah.
So shit in a box and then send it to her ex-husband, or what are we doing with this?
If you work at a lab, you have to send it to the lab.
You send it to the lab.
And you put it in this, like you probably know this. Yeah. I have the kit. I should bring it in. I can't do it. It looks like you're supposed to shit in a French fry tray, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are these two pill bottle looking things that have liquid in them. Mm-hmm. And your job is mm-hmm. to get in there with like a little, you know, like those malted wooden spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there with that, put it in each pill thing, shake it up, and then
send it
put it in the
mail.
Fridge, oh. in your refrigerator, mm. and then it has to go through FedEx because they're the only ones who deal with biohazard. Mm-hmm. I can't go through this. This mm. is too traumatic. I can't mm. do it.
Well, you want to clear up whatever the issue is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, shouldn't a French fry tray.
Nah. Well, first off, shouldn't that French fry tray be more of a buoy that you could float in your toilet?
That would be
that's a really good
just
point,
to give
yeah.
you a certain sense of, you know, you could tether.
Normalcy.
You could do a little telescoping thing that's kind of locked it off, but yeah, it'd be... Yeah, it'd give you a sense of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Like,
right,
some of these things are mm-hmm. daily crutches for people. I know people that'll take Prilosec or take Meprazole every day for months mm-hmm. a year. And also they found now association with kidney disease, dementia. People are taking this stuff every day and have done it for years. So many of these things, it's cumulative. So
is aspirin still aspirin?
Aspirin is the opposite in terms of some of the risks. They think it may have preventive effects with colon cancer, that it decreases risk of heart attacks. And obviously the first thing somebody does when they start having chest pain, pop an aspirin. So that's out of the class of the NSAIDs. So.
All right.
Does your blood thinner?
Does your body build up resistance to the heartburn medication after a while? You know what I'll tell you what I'm talking about. When I was doing chemo, they prescribed me heartburn medication, like prescription strength. I would take it every day. I noticed after a while, I would start getting heartburn more often because I think felt like my body stopped defending itself against.
Well, it depends what the cause of the hypersecretion of acid is, and that's a different case. But in the average person taking it for gastritis or heartburn, that generally
not a problem.
Doesn't occur.
Okay.
Well, you're not supposed to take it. Now they're saying 2 weeks. I mean, I know people taking it for months or years.
You sound like a real doctor today.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let's do one more, Dr. Spaz.
One more?
Well, Dominic's here.
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay. Big star.
Hit your big closer.
The Zika virus. There's so many interesting topics. Catholic leaders say that Zika doesn't change ban on contraception. I thought you'd have a social comment on this. The potential for all these microcephalic children to be born, and there's a movement in Catholic countries to, hey, you know, abortion or birth, not even birth control.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, stay the course.
Yeah, it's worked thus far.
Have those horrible piece of shit Catholic countries that are fucking failing insanely. Like, whether it's I was just in here with an attorney who's with the Innocence Project and Mark Garagus, and we're just talking about the war on drugs and the laws and the this and that, and he was telling me what a miserable failure it is and how this and how that. It's always like, being stupid isn't having a bad idea and executing it. It's executing it over and over and over. Yeah, nobody knows in advance if this is a bad idea or that's a bad idea. I mean, when you're really bright and you're operating at a different level, you can probably look down the road a little and see that pothole coming. But I don't blame anyone for going, you know, let's outlaw drugs. They're bad for you. People die. People overdose. I get it. But after 75 years of abject failure, not being able to correct your course. And it's the same with the Catholic Church and many of these countries that go, look, here's what we believe in. Understood. But since we've proven over and over again unequivocally that it does not work, and as a matter of fact, not only does it not work, your country's a piece of shit. Yeah. Maybe we should start transitioning toward something that does work. And here's the good news. You don't have to make anything up. There are countless examples of how it works. You just steal someone else's good idea and implement it. Okay.
Okay, so one more quote from the CDC. I like the way they give recommendations, and this is on Zika virus. Federal health officials are recommending men who have traveled to countries with Zika activity use condoms to avoid spreading the virus to their pregnant sex partners. There's some oxymoronic.
To the pregnant sex partners.
So we're going to go on vacation and have sex and then come back to our pregnant partner.
Can't they
get bit by a mosquito and get
the idea is
be
it's nest. You can transmit it sexually.
Right, I get that. But the guy doesn't mean he was fucking around. I mean, he could have gotten bit by a mosquito.
Right.
I'm just saying. He's not always a cheater.
It sounds a little bit funky, but that's true. But the idea is now there's a concern for this as a transmittable sexual
disease. Yeah, I'd probably get my story all fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm back from Thailand, sweetie. No, I'm putting a condom on because we don't know if you're pregnant. What's Bruce say? I was fucking a mosquito? Fuck. Did I fuck that up?
I mean, unless you're actually fucking a mosquito, in which case you're saying.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I could have gotten bit by a mosquito while I was balls deep in this 13-year.
This is getting worse.
Shit, no.
What they're saying is exactly what you're saying.
During my refractory period,
there was a mosquito. From fucking the 13-year-old?
Oh, is that what I said?
A 13-year-old mosquito? I'm confused.
We were camping.
Oh. This isn't getting better. I kind of hope I'm not pregnant now.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring it home, Dr. Spaz.
I'm done.
Okay.
I could go on and on.
All right. Yeah, we were afraid of that. Dominic Monaghan. Monaghan.
I actually asked him to say his last name for me, and he said no.
Oh, nice!
Power move!
It was like, fucked awesome. It up last time we were in Phoenix. That's why. He's pissed. Dominic, the show, Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan. There you go. Got my story. I'm sticking with it. Boy, I mean, you want to talk about the real deal. This guy's going deep.
I wonder if he's worried about getting Zika virus.
You know what? We should ask him because he's globetrotting all over the place, and he's getting into the thick. He's going in the thicket there. He's captured snakes and spiders and everything else. So we'll do that. 1 second.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
And that was Dr. Bruce hanging out with Gina, Brian, and Adam. I love Dr. Bruce.
Love that man so much. One of the funnest times I've ever had hanging out with anybody is me and Dr. Bruce, Ontario Improv. Adam Carolla on stage, Frank Stallone shows up, maybe a little drunk, maybe knocks over a candle or something. various cascade of other comedians. Dan from the Dan Band hung with us, took us to his trunk, gave us free merch and swag. Even though we tried to pay him, he wouldn't take it. Bruce revealed his favorite album was Paul's Boutique. And then we watched sad Jeff Ross blow a joint outside behind the club by himself. I don't think he wanted us around him.
Oh, man.
We were hiding behind Dan Band's trunk.
That's a night. That's a memorable night.
I sat
though.
Where Kathy and Jimmy sits.
Oh, amazing. God, I love the Dan Band. Now you're bringing me back down memory.
The greatest
line.
Guy in the world. Right. That was the show where Adam held up a mozzarella stick and Mike Corrado of 5 Minutes with Mike fame that used to be featured on the Adam Carolla website.
Yeah, I love Mike.
He bent down and he bit the mozzarella stick. It's the greatest shot in the world.
Oh, my. I wasn't there for that, but I could. It all makes sense. You know,
I got pictures.
All these characters.
Mike Carano took a snapshot. That's just a whole bunch of photos of every frame of it happening.
Yeah, he always had a camera on him. So
I'll send it to you.
There you go. Please. All right, let's get going with our final clip of the day. We're going to go back to 2016.
Adam Carolla Show, 1777. We played like a 10-minute chunk and like a 6-minute chunk of this episode, but it is a gem. Front to back with guest Anna Faris, who's there from the very beginning. She's great. So today we're going to play like the first hour, and then tomorrow we'll play the news when Anna's a couple mangrias deep, and it is hilarious. Until then, Anna Faris, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, March of 2016. Anna letting loose with her opinions about Adam on his own show. Check it out.
Thanks for sharing. Anna Faris knows how that works. You got to share. You like it, you share it with a friend. We love going. We do the live shows. We'll be in Denver on March 25th, Paramount Theater. And you come up to us and you go, hey, my dad turned me on, or I turned my dad on, or this is my best friend. He was into it and he got me into it. Now I'm a bigger fan than him. St. Louis coming up on March 26th at the Pageant Theater. All sorts of live shows everywhere. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
What up, boss?
See, the stamp in my hand, I'm out clubbing for Matt's bachelor party.
Oh, you were part
night.
Of that?
I was stamped for the first time in decades.
I called him. He was in bad shape.
He's always in bad shape.
Well,
it's
no,
Matt.
Yeah, physically, yeah, but emotionally. Between the cat spending the night and the neighbors.
That was a long fucking day.
We are we're living in a world where your heterosexual adult, soon-to-be-married assistant turns into a sack of tears because his cat is gone.
Oh, no.
And which is fine. I like that because Matt wears his feelings on his sleeves. But look, well, the cat is safely back with Matt. We'll get into that. Anna Faris here. I was very excited to come do her podcast. Anna Faris is unqualified And you're going to have to change the title soon because she's got about 15 in the bank and lots of really good guests and gets a lot of A-level guests to come to her home and sit down and do just a long-form, fun, order a pizza, have a glass of wine deal at her home.
Adam, it's excellent. Thanks. Well, thank you for coming. It was a big thrill when you pulled up.
I always say I don't have low self-esteem. I have no self-esteem and that I don't exist. So when I get the call that, Anna Faris wants you to come in and do her podcast, she's really excited. I'm like, why? Why does she know who I am? What universe am I living in?
Are you kidding? You're my fantasy. You're huge. You're incredible, and I was hugely honored that you came over and I had a great time with you.
Well, you know, it was fun. We took phone calls. Anna cares a little too much. Mm-hmm. That's probably my only criticism.
You might be right.
Is
like
she
life? Like,
well, she's taking phone calls, and she's saying to everybody, email me. Let me know how it turned out.
Move in with me.
And I'm like going, all right, hang up on this loser. Moving on, because you learn from doing syndicated radio, especially Loveline, like just moving on.
I'm so bad at that.
And Anna's just like, oh, no, it's okay. You're going to be fine. And probably from just a pure professional standpoint, the only thing I'd say to you is be like a fighter pilot around Vietnam and you're letting some napalm go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's villagers down there, but don't picture it.
Yeah.
Don't picture it.
We're stopping communism.
I know.
Yeah. Just release those bombs and peel off back in a formation.
Boy, no, it's true. We have to edit a lot of my caring a heart out of the show because it goes on and on and on and on and on. But the goal with the podcast was I really did want to be sincere in the advice that we give and an attempt to help people, even though we have no idea what the fuck we're talking. We swear. Yeah.
It's fun.
Anyway.
Mom, obviously the TV show, new episodes Thursdays, 9 o'clock on CBS. So with your man turning into an action hero sensation, just in what feels like the blink of an eye, I thought, Chris, your husband, he's one of these guys that I feel like I know I would like simply based on watching him get interviewed on TMZ walking through airports on his way home from hunting trips.
It's good litmus test.
I just somehow know I'm simpatico with that dude. But going from fifth and a half banana on a sort of niche TV show to the world's biggest action star in 20 minutes.
I know.
I don't know what that does to you, your relationship. Does it make you feel like I got to go harder and keep up?
Or no, the opposite. I can start a podcast. I don't know. We constantly look at each other and we're like, wait, what's happening? It's been dizzying because, I moved here in 1999 and was lucky enough to get Scary Movie pretty quickly and that did well or whatever. And I've been working steadily, but not obviously not a huge action star like he is. So it has been a dramatic shift in our lives. But he's an awesome guy. And I like to think, just like what you said, Adam, he really is, he's a dude's dude and he is he's a wonderful person. He's taking it in stride and we're just like, we have this sort of running joke that's a little bit weird about it's a little bit of a Mice and Men reference where we'll be like, tell me about the rabbits, honey. Tell me about the rabbits.
Well, the thing, I have this theory, which is we can't expect Justin Bieber to be normal because when you're 13 and a half and you have 200 million YouTube downloads, you can't be normal.
That's abnormal. That's
none of us would be normal either. And then when you're going to Japan for a tour at 16 and a half and women are gathering in front of your hotel balcony and screaming your name all night, how could you expect that person to be normal? Now, Chris probably had a lot of years of being a civilian under his belt before becoming megastar.
He lived in a van in Maui. He lived in a van parked on an obscure beach, hidden from the cops, and he would rollerblade to work every day at Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory.
Where he hopefully worked, or was just there to harass some waitress? He liked a lot.
Probably both, a little both, probably. But no, wow. No, yeah. So he's, you know, he's the dude.
He got it locked in that he didn't have any real success. I mean, being on a TV show is good, but it's not what he's doing now, you know, Parks and Rec. I mean, he didn't have much before the age of 30 in terms of scrambling his brain.
Right.
Who's, it's like a sidewalk that's still wet with the cement. Like you can, Justin Bieber's got a million guys with a million sticks putting a million names and initials. Yeah. And Chris is probably dried by the time the guys with the stick showed up.
He's so much like you. I feel like he would just love to, he just wants to work in the garage all day long. You know, that's what he loves acting. We love being creative. We talk about it a lot, a weird amount probably. But yeah, he's a really grounded person.
Do you, maybe it's a male female thing. You tell me, when you go to Anna's house, first thing you do is just walk past Chris's project VW, which is comical because Anna said you probably had $100,000 dumped into that. You know, but look, he could sell it tomorrow for $12,500. So it's a good solid investment.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. But you know, I had this conversation with my wife last night, which is I was saying, I think it's really important for human beings, and I think we're getting away from this as human beings, and I don't think it's sitting well with us. I think you need to go out and raise a barn every once in a while. Like, if you took a bunch of people that were in an office and they're banging away on their typewriter or their computers and they're doing all their stuff, and no matter how much achievement they got, it was all digital achievement.
Intangible.
And if you took those same people and you just took them out to a field and you wrote, and half the barn was up and then they broke for lunch and you got to sit sort of in the shadow of what
do
you just did.
Do something tactile,
like something hunting, working on the VW, like something. And I wonder,
well, they recently did that on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, where they went and did a Habitat for Humanity project. And I tell you what, it really grounded them.
They used half as much acrylic on their nails.
I'm sure you're
the following week.
We discussed it at length.
But I wonder if I get to go out and do the very sane activity of working on my projects all the time and then come home.
You don't get, like, recognized? You don't get, like, I don't know. Or is that what you, is this where you're going?
I go to my workshop and just start working on cars and get tactile.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if that's, and maybe, I'm sure Chris, hunting is that for him.
Hunting, working in the garage, like the garage is a big thing.
But I'm wondering if we should, you have a young son, I saw, very cute, Jack. I'm wondering if we should be teaching our daughters and sons this valuable part, which is you don't need to do this stuff anymore because everything works and nothing, but do it to stay sane.
Yeah, and you're right about it. There's something about sort of tactile puzzle solving too, like actually like solving a problem. Chris and I were talking about this earlier. He's really good at being able to focus. Like, I think I hate to sort of gender stereotype because I feel like it always ends up being the woman's disadvantage.
You live longer, so always fall back on that.
I'm not going to. But the idea, you know, Chris can really focus on something like a Rubik's Cube or like fixing the engine or like...
He can use telepathy to control a velociraptor. I know that guy's got incredible focus.
But to your point where it's like, the idea of actually physically doing something, you know, whether it's alone or as a team and you know, I don't know, a bigger part.
Well, I just wonder if with guys not driving stick shifts anymore, just sort of everyone has, the gardener comes on Wednesday, the guy's going to come detail the car on Saturday. We create this life where it's like somehow we never have to leave this room.
Right.
But I wonder if we're folding in on ourselves a little bit. Like, I think everybody should go get a project something. And just go leave it in the garage and just go tinker with it.
Do you think that's why like things like Tough Mudder have gotten popular? Because like guys almost intentionally, and girls, putting themselves through hell, you know, to kind of like achieve something.
I think
something false, maybe, but something.
I think the MMA, I think extreme sports, the X Games. X Games was zero I mean, me and Jimmy hosted like the third one in San Francisco.
That tells you anything. Pretty low.
I mean, they were hurting. No,
we hosted
one, and there are guys just doing like kick turns on a 4-foot ramp in San Francisco in 2001. Like
extreme.
It was nothing. Now the guys doing flips on snowmobiles and stuff. Like, oh yes. Well, look, I think there's a translation to porn.
I'm listening.
I'm saying we have lost our pleasure centers, are like burnt out from watching too much plasma television and getting everything we want all the time. So everything gets ratcheted up. I'm saying go old school, go out to the garage and just put a couple of pieces of wood together and just tune out.
Is that code for masturbate?
Old school. Put a couple of pieces of wood together. So Anna, the podcast, which you did, I'm guessing Chris is just on the road constantly shooting something, right?
Yeah, he has been on the road for a while.
And you can't be on the road because you're here shooting Mom in studio.
Right.
So you guys have this sort of opposite schedule, which is not only is he have to go to New Zealand to shoot a movie, but you can't go with him because you got to be on set on Monday.
Yep, that's right. It's totally hard. We have specific ways that we sort of deal with it. And one of them, you know, I get every third week off, so I go where he is and with my son. And we also try really hard to, even though we're exhausted at the end of the day, to not do the 3-minute phone call of like, oh, honey, yeah, was your day good? Yeah, it was good. Okay, well, I'm exhausted. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Love you. Bye. You know, we try really hard to actually interact because it gets so easy to, when you're spent at the end of a day, to just
drift apart.
Yeah. And so we, you know, and we do a lot of like, I know it's, you know, Skyping and FaceTime or like, you know, sitting down to dinner over FaceTime. So you're like forced to converse.
That's awesome.
You know, because it requires energy. And so we do that. And we're just, you know, looking towards the future. Like we've recently got another place, and we keep thinking about the idea of Chris really wants to make homemade sausage out of
what a man
out of deer, duck,
wow. That is
pig and beef, right?
Fucking A.
Is he want to sell it?
He said earlier this morning, he said, honey, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to buy 200 acres in Washington, and we're going to get these cows. I've got this whole place picked out, and it's like a rundown, ramshackle man cave of a place with, like, anyway, he showed me the place. It's like, I don't know, okay, babe. Anyway, and he's like, okay, so we're going to put a deep freeze here. We're going to hang the beef here. We're going to do all this, and then we'll give the sausage away as gifts.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what our family is going to want.
Well,
from
not
us.
Your family. I'll tell you, Jimmy Kimmel and David Alan Greer. David Alan Greer was doing the same thing.
Like,
with
our family, they want cars, honey. They don't want our sausage.
We had the same conversation last night at Fendler's bachelor party. It was drunken plans, getting a place in Washington and getting the beef.
Oh,
the
really? Bachelor party.
We had the same conversation, the exact same conversation.
Stuffing sausage.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on up.
Now, do you feel, and does he feel, so is there this danger?
I love it that you want to talk about relationships, Adam.
Well,
I
that's what we talked
I mean,
about on your show.
I know, but I love that. It's unexpected, that's all I want to talk about.
Well, I got a few phone calls up here. We'll take some of those, and those will move us all over the map. But here's the good part, and enjoy your mangria, by the way. The good,
thank you.
The good part about having success at a later stage in life is you've got your feet under you. You know who you are, and you're not going to turn into some insane little brat douchebag that's horrible to everyone around you. But maybe the negative side of that is you went without for so long that it's really hard to turn your back on, you know, Jurassic Park. Now we're shooting both sequels simultaneously, you know, or the sequel to the sequel to the sequel, and Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. And for you as well, like, is there this feeling of like, I got to get some, you had success early, but there's also this part of this business where it's like, you got to make hay while the sun shines, because you, totally. You can't take a year off. You're out.
We always talk about what's that show? What's the millionaire show that used to be on all the time?
When the Matchmaker?
They used to hit the button and go bank.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who
Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Brian,
that's old school.
How much you went on that show?
100,000.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
Old school. I'm a little old, but but we were like bank.
For later.
Because you're right. Like we have to take these opportunities. We're living our dream. Chris is, his wildest dreams, my wildest dreams for him are coming true. So we do recognize that, these are the sacrifices that we make for this time. We're apart, but hopefully we'll be making sausage in 10 years. Oh, God. Will you guys come visit me? Because I'm going to have a tough time, slaughtering pigs.
I can't even fish. And it's not because of the fish. I can't bait. I can't put the hook. They're like, you got to put it through. What you do is you go through the eye, out the nostril, and up the ass with the hook on the chovy. And I'm like, no. It'll swim for like an hour. No hook through its asshole. Yeah.
That's
and I'm like, no, just hang on to it. Don't you hang on to it and put the. And it's like, ugh.
You could come fix the corrugated tin roof.
I could fix.
And the tractor, could use your
I will raise you up a barn, baby. But when it comes time to bleed out that pig.
Will you please raise up a movie star's barn?
I will go to I'm going on a lumber run when you've got the pig. I don't know how to do that. I get weird doing
it's
that.
Weird.
But if you get a box crate around Christmas time full of sausage from the family over here, you're not going to turn that away.
No. I'll take all the box sausage I can.
So you're
can
like
get.
Me though. You eat meat, but the idea of killing, because Chris is, which I really admire his philosophy, is like, if I'm going to eat it, I need to be able to kill it. And I admire that. But I am not, I don't have the stomach for.
Do you? But he's not out shooting cows or chickens.
He would like to.
Oh, that'd be fun. He's coming home with venison and other wild game, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a palate for that? Do you enjoy that?
Sort of.
Can he make you up a venison steak that you're going to enjoy?
Really good. It's. I was resistant, but I don't know why. It's illogical, but he turns his spoils into delicious food.
Is he a good cook?
He's a really great. Yeah, he's a great cook.
Wow,
I know. He's sort of a dream.
Want to marry him.
I do.
I know. I felt like I really do. I know I've said this before, but I feel like I sort of bet on a thoroughbred that was kept in the stalls for a while. And I'm like, will you marry me?
When you met him, he was carrying around an extra 30 pounds and it wasn't money. Right?
Well, when I met him.
I mean, when you met him.
Are you working on the back of his book?
I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
No. When I met him, we met on this movie called Take Me Home Tonight. And he was really trim and super, he's a big dude, but he was very. And then I don't want to brag. I'm not a great cook, but I do love to cook. And I just was like, eat this. And so, I sort of tied him up to my bed and just force fed him like a goose.
Sounds great.
With foie gras. And I was like.
So that was your doing.
I like to think so. And now I have no power.
So this is circa, it was 2008, 2007. When you guys ran. I'm trying to do my math here. Yes, Brent.
I was going
to
say, cooking is one of those things where effort really makes up for a lack of ability. Like if you were really into cooking and you love it and you insist on cooking, like as long as you're not bad, if you're just okay, then everyone's on board.
Read a recipe or whatever. Yeah, it's a fun thing to do.
Brian has a Baldywood. Mm-hmm. Which movie again?
Cloverfield? 10 Cloverfield Lane. I saw it on Friday.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
Well, you'll have to listen.
We're going
to
find out.
Oh, yeah. Yay. Sorry. We're going to find out together.
I'm their worst guest. I keep interrupting. Sorry.
All right. Let's see. Any question? We'll take a question or two, and then we'll see what thing about getting therapy, dog. All right. Here we go. Chris, 37, Alabama. What's going on?
Adam, Gina, Bob, Anna, I enjoy your podcast.
Oh,
well.
Hey, thank you.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm going to need your home address.
I know.
Just send you out some sausage.
Hey, promo code ACE on that boxed up sausage, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Adam, here's my question. I'm going to bounce it out on the front end. My oldest daughter is taking unicycle in her after-school program and has learned to ride, so bear that in mind when I ask you this second question.
Good. Yeah, I've got my daughter trying to learn to ride my unicycle. That's part of my quest, but go ahead.
All right. Are you, and I say we because I'm going to take your lead, anti-therapy dog for everything? My youngest daughter is 5. She's type 1 diabetic, and there's been they picked up a lot of steam with these therapy dogs for kids at night where their blood sugar might go very low and the therapy dog will like alert when the child wouldn't normally wake up. But I also know all the things. Air travel's obviously out of the question.
Yes.
Well, are you anti-therapy dog for everything?
No, only for blind people. I love the idea of the therapy dog. I don't like us because our human nature is much worse than their canine nature, which is the second somebody found out they could fly with Fluffy for free, mm-hmm. then the planes became littered with perfectly fine people flying with their dogs.
Hollywood.
It became a scam.
Dog.
It's a scam.
No, and it's exploitative. 6% of these therapy dogs are not doing anything.
And the thing, here's the deal. There is a scam involving medical marijuana as well, which is between you, your doctor, your god, and your landlord. Like, I don't care how much kush you bring home and how high you get, but we're at a Starbucks and you have your dog on the table. And now that table is infected with your dog's ass and some sort of worms. I don't like that. I'm on an airplane literally having two dogs fight at my shins.
You're in public space.
Right. Oh, and I'm walking through LAX and your dog just took a dump right out front of the Wompoppers. They have one there. The one point is this.
Go with it.
You are affecting me now with whatever you're attempting
Adam,
to do.
Adam, you're such a fucking asshole.
I hate it. Uh-oh. Do you have a...
I smell a ringtone.
What's Chris have, like a therapy moose rides on?
No.
So, Chris,
Yes, sir.
Having a dog that alerts your daughter that she needs to take her insulin or whatever is 1,000%.
It's unacceptable. Goodbye.
No, it's 1,000% good with me and a service dog. I mean, when you see these people navigating busy intersections and getting to work and back with the use of the dog, or even the dog that goes over and flips the light switch on and shuts the cupboard door. I love that.
Are you the kind of person that when there's an ambulance, especially if it's a privately operated ambulance, are you the kind of person that's like, immediately what goes through your mind is they're faking it?
Mm. No, but I don't, I can't.
Like, you just want to get to lunch?
Well, when I see, for instance, a car that's been rear-ended, but there's no damage to the car, but the person claims they can't work for a month and they have to get surgery and they have to go, I don't like that. I don't like when I see there's barely a scratch on the bumper, mm-hmm. but the person is suing the other person's insurance because they have to miss work and the emotional mm-hmm. whatever. That I don't like. It's just a sort of softening and weakening of this society, which is sort of built on basically Lewis and Clark.
So, Gina, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is Adam's level of cynicism?
Hey, I never think about an ambulance.
No, but listen, my personal feeling is I feel like this would make his daughter so happy.
She's diabetic.
So much pain and, you know, shots.
It's going to make her more independent. That's a point.
I am a little concerned, like, if she were to take, you know, it has to be with her at all times. She'd have to take it to school, and we never want her to view that condition as a crutch. So I'm a little split as to whether, you know, that would.
Here's another thing that we were talking about as I was reading one of my many articles on how bad all this goddamn homework is and all these projects they send you home with, there's unintended consequences, which is right now she is in charge of when she takes her shots, what her diet is, how long it's been, and so on and so forth. At a certain point, when you give it to a dog, you essentially farm it out. Like, you essentially go, well, I got this creature with me, and this creature's going to be on top of this particular part of my life. At some point, she's going to go somewhere without this creature. It will necessitate this. There will be some travel or some event or some school, something. And now she's weakened in a sort of weakened state because she's used to this creature. It's off her radar. It's on the dog's radar. Dogs got to be pissed, by the way. Like, dogs used to be, 10 years ago, we licked our balls, we hung out, we chased a squirrel, and if we wanted to delight a human, all we had to do is play dead or roll over or do something. Now we're sniffing for cancer. We
got to work for our food.
We're having to alert everybody, and we didn't see this whole Iraqi Middle Eastern thing where it's like, hey, in that cinder block shithole over there, it might be filled with TNT. Go in there, Rex.
Let us know. Actually, we'll know.
Go first. You go first. Or there could just be a bunch of ISIS members ready to shoot. So go
either
out.
Way.
Go. Yeah. No.
How far away are we for therapy dogs for the therapy dog?
Oh.
That's adorable.
I think we're there in Hollywood. I'm sure there's probably therapy dogs.
You've seen those Facebook videos of the blind dog that has a little friend that leads him around.
A pile of fish.
Oh, damn adorable.
It's coming. Yeah. Also, in terms of these poor military dogs, you know, at least a place back in the day, like Vietnam, that's a good place for a dog to take a shit. Very lush environment.
A lot of greenery.
Yep. This is one huge ashtray for them. That's bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like kitty litter, I guess, the good news. But the bad news is, like, there's no privacy.
Like,
there's no shrubbery, no brush.
Dogs like finding a nice patch of greenery and let it go.
I feel like, Chris, you should just get a dog just for having a dog so your daughter can have, you know, that kind of love and fun distraction. I don't know.
Chris, hang on the line. Once we're done with you, I'll get your address and show up and hug it out.
Alabama.
Philly cheesesteak, is he available? Is that a possibility?
I don't think Philly would be helpful in this case.
No. Yeah, but if he chews up another one of my mats when I put him outside, he might be available sooner.
Is that his form of protest?
He chews everything, and when he gets put outside, he just will chew anything that's out there. When he's inside, he's kind of mellow. But yeah, when he's outside, that's his form of protest. Hey, yeah.
Adam, I know you're going through calls. Can I take 10 seconds to give you a compliment? Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Real quick, for the job that I do, I work for a public school, and we do education prevention for substance abuse. And one of the things I've kind of learned from you in the long-form interviews, when we bring in speakers, we just kind of start our own thing where we'll drive there and interview them and do kind of cut it up into a video and ask them open-ended questions. And we really put together quite a neat little in-house vignette and production thing that we've done, and I kind of was spurred on by thinking outside the box and listening to some of the stuff you said. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. All right, shall we do Baldywood?
Yeah.
I'm curious about this movie.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood.
I would be remiss if I did not mention the top of Baldywood. Anna, I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thank you.
You leapt off the screen in Scary Movie, and I've been a fan of yours ever since.
Thank you.
I'm on record on this podcast as saying you're the funniest female actor working today, and I'm a huge fan. So,
thank you
for doing all you do.
That means a lot.
And he did not just bring that or conjure that today.
It's come up many times.
We've all heard it. Well,
today's your birthday.
You. Well, yes. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
And by the way, I've stopped arguing with him. I just let it go now. I'm just
he used a weekly throw. I was like, well, Melissa McCarthy's pretty bad. Fuck hey, you! How dare you?
That's how you're gonna play it, Adam?
No, it's just a joke. You, the master and queen of comedy, surely can understand that my form of mirth. All right, sorry, that caller ran again.
10 Cloverfield Lane is in theaters now. It is the directing debut of Dan Trachtenberg, a auspicious debut, co-written by Damien Chazelle, guy behind Whiplash. He was actually attached to write and direct this movie, and then Whiplash got funded, and he dropped out to do Whiplash, and good thing he did. I love Whiplash, one of my all-time favorite movies. John Goodman stars in this, as well as Mary Elizabeth Winstead and John Gallagher Jr. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, which it's a little bit mind-blowing. Did anyone see this?
No.
Okay.
A little bit mind-blowing for me, because I would have pegged it after I saw it around 70 or so. I think movies these days, a lot of times, get a lot of mileage out of coming out this time of year when they're actually good movies. Because, you know, when I went to the movie theater to see this, the other movies that came out that were playing were London Has Fallen, The Brothers Grimsby, and Gods of Egypt. Average Rotten Tomatoes score 20%. I mean, bad, bad movies typically this time of year. Right. And this one's pretty good. So I think it gets a little boost by being, you know.
Gary's got a head shake going.
London Has Fallen.
I think the score is 20%.
Come on. It is. It's low, but that's people going in there. My point is.
But these types of movies. Okay.
There you go. Very, very, very difficult to talk about this movie without spoiling anything, because I don't know if you've seen the trailers, but they're trapped in a basement, you know, with some apocalyptic thing, perhaps post-apocalyptic. They're not allowed to go upstairs. Are they captured? Are they not? So I don't want to touch on too much of the plot, but this actually started as an ultra-low-budget movie called The Cellar. This is going to be a script, a totally separate, ultra-low-budget, standalone script called The Cellar, and then Paramount bought it and said this is going to be a sort of de facto sequel to Cloverfield. We're going to make this into a Cloverfield movie, and I think the plan is to make it sort of the Cloverfield series, make it sort of Twilight Zone-ish, like, you know, these are supernatural type things, maybe they're not all part of the same event.
Like American Horror Story, it changes every season.
Anthology kind of thing.
Cloverfield was the giant monster, we saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
They screened it for us, I think. Screening for the morning show, and I enjoyed it a lot.
I liked it too.
And it was sort of all done through an iPhone.
Found footage, yeah. T.J. Miller was the guy, was the guy who had the camera.
Right.
I don't know if you guys remember that. It was T.J. Miller.
Oh, yeah.
The camera. Mm-hmm. It was HUD. I liked Cloverfield. And this one, I'll say this. It's a good movie. There's enough great scenes, and there's a handful of great scenes. It's really well directed that make up for the weaker parts of the movie. And there are parts that are a little bit tedious. There are parts that are a little bit, oh, come on. And there are, like, John Goodman's character is a weirdo. But he's a weirdo just for the sake of being weird. Like, he's kind of out of nowhere, and he just does weird things. And, okay, I can see how that's sort of the character, but he does weird things that only kind of serve the plot. I'm talking around the plot because I don't want to give too much away, but this is a good movie, but there are parts that don't quite measure up.
Can I ask you this? Does it follow the rules that it's set up for itself? Because I hate it when, especially a movie that has any kind of big reveal, betrays the rules that it's established.
That's a great question.
The unreliable narrative.
It does for 95% of the film. I won't talk about the ending. I'll simply say that it felt like a square peg for a round hole. The ending was a little bit obligatory, a little bit... Oh, come on, you're trying to make this something else that it doesn't have to be. You can sort of see where the script originally was, because, you know, The Cellar is obviously, you know, the idea being the original script, and then you can sort of see where something might have been tacked on to make it a little more Cloverfield-ish. You'll know when you see it, but there were parts that felt a little bit out of place.
Well, at 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, what percentage would you have it? Mid-low 70s?
Yeah, 70, 72, somewhere around there. This is there are some great scenes, and I cannot begrudge the movie. There's some great tense moments. It's really well directed, some sort of cat and mouse claustrophobic stuff. But there are parts where I was kind of scratching my head, looking at my watch, being like, come on, this doesn't belong here.
Can you answer this? Are there only two people in the entire movie?
There are literally, including one voice on phone, there are probably five credited parts in the entire movie. Four or five. Yeah.
Would Phil Rosenthal go, this is a play?
No, this is cinematic, and it's well done, and there are parts that, you know, a little bit white knuckle, a little edgier scene.
So you had it built up a little and then you won, and it didn't quite live up to what you had built up there.
Actually, if anything, I think I was expecting a little bit less. I think I was expecting, because Cloverfield didn't feel like it needed a sequel, and plus the found footage thing has kind of been done, and we've all seen too many found footage.
So you went in a little lower, and got more, but still, it's still at 90%, and you're at 70%.
Exactly. I was thinking I was probably expecting 40, was hoping for 90, and got about 70. So see this in the theaters. This is a overall a good movie.
All right. C+.
There you go.
Hooray for Bollywood!
That's not usually how it goes. Usually I talk about the plot a little bit more.
Well, usually I'm a part of like D- thing, so.
My favorite D- movie of yours is Just Friends. I love Just Friends, and you were fantastic.
Thank you.
Is that Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. She plays a pop star, sort of like Britney Spears, but.
It's horrible person. It's so fun to be
Samantha James?
Yeah, thank you for remembering that. Yeah.
Your song, Forgiveness, is.
I found Ryan Reynolds to be a very nice guy, by the way.
He's wonderful.
Friendly,
he's a great guy.
Dude, when I met him, doing Two Guys, a Girl in a Pizza Place or something like a million years ago. But on a happy note, Lost in Translation, another part where you get to play sort of
an awful person.
An awful person. That is a very funny. That's a very funny role.
Thanks.
I mean, it's just that really uncomfortable meet in the lobby always reminds me of like when Spinal Tap ran into
their nemesis
that sold out the Megadome down in the lobby. Like, with just super, I could watch 2 hours of uncomfortable lobby encounters on the big screen. That was that always made me laugh.
There is something unbelievably satisfying about playing somebody terrible, and it's just.
Well, your character and have been and on occasion naively terrible, which is sort of cool. I mean, it's better because you don't know how you're coming across.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the oblivious, like. Mm-hmm.
But it's like Justin Bieber wouldn't know how he's coming across because he had too much too soon. That's how I felt about your character. It's like you had too much too soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Phone calls. Someone's thinking about what I got. Reaction videos. I don't know what this is. Let me ask.
You know what a reaction video is?
You're going to find out.
Is it involve scaring black people?
It can. Typically, if they show somebody something horrible and catch their reaction rather than the video itself.
Yeah.
Seattle. You know, that's where I'm from.
Seattle. That's right. Hey, Anthony.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
I had a new segment idea for your podcast.
All right.
My idea was that users could tweet you YouTube videos, and you could do, like, reactions of them, because you're, like, one of the few people that are really funny on their feet and can riff off things.
Yeah. I don't like scaring people or watching people be scared or injured or put
off. Out.
Pranked harshly.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I meant like maybe watch a trailer or a news clip or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sort of do your reaction, your thoughts, your off the cuff thoughts.
I wish I had a camera rolling back in 1980 when I went to my buddy Ray, who's the scariest guy on the planet, and his mom. Where it was at his apartment in North Hollywood, and it was one of these crappy apartments that had that real long skinny driveway, sort of like an alley that went, everyone parked in the back under the apartment, which did put like shag carpet around the pole. There's people backed into it too many times, but it was a long alleyway, and his mom told us both to empty a garbage. She gave me a big sack of garbage and she gave Ray a big sack of garbage, and she said, go empty it. And the dumpster was at the very front of the driveway and tucked into this alcove, 90 degrees, and it was at night. And Ray was 230 pounds of scary, and he went first. And then for some reason, I didn't follow him. I ended up talking to his mom or standing in the kitchen or something, and I was about 2 minutes behind him. And as I walked down this long driveway and looked down, and I saw the smallest woman in the apartment building carrying a sack of garbage. And Ray, as she's about to come up to the corner, Ray flew out and just did a wah! You know, like hands flying out. threw the garbage in the air and just like, oh shit! I heard her yell as loud.
Mean.
And He thought it was me. He was going to do that to me, but instead he did it to the middle-aged woman who was 81 pounds, and she just screamed as loud as she could and threw garbage everywhere. That I enjoyed, actually.
Does Ray have a long, rich history of pranking the wrong person?
He's gotten... Well, again, he's not a smart bomb. He's a carpet bomber when it comes to pranking.
Right.
It's just anyone who's... I've seen him pee on the leg of strangers at a stall next to him. I've seen him fart on a girl who said, I don't even know you that well. Like, I remember it was funny. We all laughed because the implication if we got to know each other a little bit, you could fart on
You can't put the genie back in the bottle on it. Don't do it.
I don't know. He sounds like the kind of guy I'd like. Oh, I hate surprises.
Anthony? Yeah.
I had a suggestion for the first video.
Yes.
You just left this out.
It's last month, Inside Edition did a report on trying to catch a contractor cheating old ladies out of money.
Yeah, somebody...
And the reporter had to put on like...
Somebody sent me... did you tweet me this?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. A lot of people tweeted me because I did a show called Catch a Contractor where we busted bad contractors. Inside Edition tried to do a low-budget kind of version of this, and they had this attractive young reporter, and she was going to get hold of this contractor who was bilking the elderly out of their savings. Mm-hmm. So she dressed up as an old person, except for the problem is she was going to go like Tom Cruise Mission Impossible reveal. Right. So she had this big rubber mask on, and she's like talking to this dude in the driveway, and she's going, hey there, Sonny. I got a garbage disposal. It's on the fritz. And he's like, yeah. Because it's weird because she's got a rubber face.
Her face movements don't match her words.
And then she's like, surprise, I'm hot.
Yeah, your eyeballs usually aren't set in an inch and a quarter. They're usually on the surface really of your face.
Surprise, I got you, I'm hot.
And she did this move where she's going like, surprise, and she started pulling the mask. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, no, not surprised, but totally weirded out. Gary, you can find it. You don't have to show us the beginning part where he's sitting around and talking to the elderly. By the way, when a concerned reporter, is sitting around a group of people on a riser and folding chairs, you never want them to be talking about you. That's your worst day ever. It can never be good. That can never be. I've seen way too many episodes of 60 Minutes where it's like the survivors of the mineshaft explode. Nothing ever. They're never heaping praise on whoever they're talking about.
And what's your favorite thing about the contractors? Rarely a question.
Inside Edition, I think. Anthony could have been the. Anthony, did you tweet this to me multiple times?
Is he on hold?
Oh. Hey, Anthony, tweet me again. Let me see. Anthony?
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't think I saved it, Gary, or favorite tweeted it. But
what's your handle, Anthony?
What's your Twitter name?
Tony Writes Good.
I
like that.
We'll find that, and then I'll show it to you, and you guys will be as weirded out as the poor contractor. It's the only time I felt sorry for the contractor, because she went to his house with the old lady mask. And by the way, I've seen way too many movies where the old lady was doing all the killing. Like when you look at these things where the people are trapped in the house and stuff, that's the old.
Yeah,
it's never the robust lumberjack.
No,
it's the old guy or it's old lady or the kids.
What's the demographic that we don't see killing?
We don't
like the toddler.
We
guess we see that in Chucky.
It's funny because we don't the ghost. It's like I've always said the ghost in your house, like they go. It's always the little girl who lost her dolly and is looking and looking and looking, you know. Da, da,
da, da, if da, that little da, girl, da, right. She starts singing off key.
The old
run.
Woman. But to me, my biggest fear in the ghost department is like a super husky gay dude. And it's like.
I'm with you.
Why?
Well, in terms of what could happen.
What do you mean, why?
I sleep on my stomach, number one. Number two, in terms of what could go wrong.
Oh, boy.
A lot could go wrong with, the super husky bear gay guy.
And they float about ass height.
There could be trouble there. Whereas the little girl lost her dolly could scare me. Like, could freak me out.
But you could take her.
I think I could take her.
Yeah.
But the guy who's was the state wrestling champ of
I love it that
Idaho,
this guy is like I need Adam Carolla, even though I've died.
He's a power top. He's a bear. Yeah. He's a state wrestling champion. He's, obviously, there's some unfinished business here for him.
Can I be in the bed when this is happening? I'm
You're going to have to go for
giggling,
help.
Giggling, giggling, giggling.
No, I need you to go put the sausage down.
I'm sorry.
Go for help.
I'm gonna be giggling a lot right there with your wife.
Drunken longshoreman, guys like that.
Died in a freak amyl nitrate accident.
Yeah, but not the little girly. Or the old lady, either. We don't pick suitable, or just the guy who died in the MMA cage, and now he haunts your house. Right. That's a scary dude.
Absolutely. The X-Games guy who died on the snowmobile.
Right. Most of them are chicks, young girls and old women. So what we do in scary movies is we pick antithesis of what we're scared of in life.
What you least expect.
And
for the surprise,
go for this, make it into something
scary. But
that's
what I'm saying. So what would be the surprise on the surprise? What would be the demographic that you would never pick?
Oh, well, let's see. So, we got the video here, then we can answer.
Okay,
but
sorry. You guys don't have to answer
She's walking.
Look at that sweet old lady.
She's walking to the guy's house. The contractor. Contractor's. By the way, there's a camera crew.
Caitlyn Jenner looks terrible.
There's a camera crew standing there as well. So it's obviously. Here you go ahead, if you can.
Ron. Uh-huh. I've been waiting for you for 3 days. You were supposed to come over and do some plumbing for me.
Who are you?
Well,
uh-oh.
Oh no, the big reveal. That was quick.
I don't know who you are.
I'll tell you who I am.
By the way, not showing up to do something without getting paid is not really.
I'm actually not a little old lady.
What?
My name's Lisa Guerrero with Inside Edition, and I'd like to know if you're bilking elderly people in this community for thousands of dollars.
Ma'am, I'm not.
Sir, I've talked to numerous people who claim that you have been ripping them off.
I haven't been. No, I have not.
Glenn Harris denies all the allegations and insists he operates above board.
Sir, do you have anything at all to say to the victims that feel that you owe them a lot of money?
I have any victims that I owe money to. I don't.
Just victims. Try telling that.
She blew the lid off of this case. You said you were coming over to my house 3 times. You never showed up.
I don't recall saying that.
Garbage disposal?
It's not bilking. You didn't get bilked. Oh, you just didn't show up.
Yeah,
that's being flaky.
Yeah,
it's called being a contractor. By the way, I do like this notion. Every guy we've ever dealt with, and all, they always get in their truck because they got a split. I got a new plan.
What's that?
I'll put a truck in my living room.
And they're going to get in the truck and think they're leaving.
Like when my daughter's driving me nuts and getting into it, or I'm arguing with my wife, I'll just go, hey, man, I'll roll the window down and go, I'm sorry, I'm moving on here. We'll just get in the truck and I'll just sit in the truck.
Because
they're always just walking out. The crew's always following them, and they're always walking in the truck, and they're like, I don't know where he's going to be. He missed the last 3 appointments, and it hurt crazy. Crazy old lady's house.
That was definitely not her idea. The producers had to talk her into that because it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And that reveal was in 15 seconds.
Boy, I'll tell you who I am. Hot Inside Edition.
Besides, they needed someone with your kind of acting chops.
Oh, that's right.
They need someone with your ability to pull that off. You can't. That's no Cub Reporter move.
That is
you
some
need
scary movie four
you
acting
your,
ability
you
right
bona,
there.
You need your bona fides. Yeah.
How far do you think she took the whole old lady thing? So they were wore bloomers and everything, or did the whole thing? Or
I don't
she's
know.
Like gunning. She wore a freaking latex mask.
But of course, the guy was completely freaked out over the camera crew and the woman talking.
It wasn't a hidden camera.
No, it was so weird. She has a microphone and then
a cane
and the camera crew, and she's like, "I'll tell you who I am."
Let me set down my boom. Yeah. Let me get the boom mic out of there, and I'll set down my handheld mic.
I need some powder. Come on, quick.
Yeah, that was excellent. All right, real quick, and then we'll hop into some news over here. Let's see. Michael, 32.
Hey, Adam.
What's going on, Michigan? Say hi to Anna.
Hey, Anna, too.
Hi, Michael.
I really liked your performance in What's My Number.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Yeah. Not too many people saw that, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, kind of along the some of the lines we were talking about with Chris Pratt, doing manly Western things. Adam, I was wondering if you, when you were watching The Hateful Eight, if you noticed, the actors, when they go to pound the nails into the door to keep it shut,
yeah.
you noticed how daintily they did that?
Well, everybody
took a lot of hits.
It's funny. Everybody holds. Well, they didn't have vinyl coated sinkers back then. Those were probably an 8 or 16 penny common head.
Sure.
But they didn't go in so nice back then. Could have even been a ring shank. I don't know.
I did read that in most of the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole nail thing, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw the review, too, where I can't remember. It was like San Francisco Chronicle or something. They were saying they should have used a waffle-headed framing, like maybe a Vaughn with a hatchet handle or something, maybe 22-ounce, 23-ounce. So they were using essentially a smooth-end finish hammer.
It's a common complaint to the point that it's like a cliche now.
Yeah,
but come
sad.
On. It's a movie, people.
No, most people, when you hand them a hammer, choke way up on it and hold it near the head and hammer that way, which loses
all the torque, all the leverage.
All the leverage of the hammer. You're really supposed to slide to the back of it. Get a little
get that hammerhead going.
Right.
You know, what bothers me is when actors' teeth are too white.
For the era.
Yes.
Especially.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I
Which
agree.
Reminds me I probably should whiten my teeth.
and or too good. Like just way too damn
good.
Straight.
I know. It's a little distracting.
It
right?
pulls you out of the element.
And also in a minus before braces, obviously, and the guy plays a blacksmith. Whose daddy was taken in the last storm, and it's like perfect white teeth just going straight across. I'm with you. So, Michael, I enjoyed the movie. It didn't pull me out of it, and I try to let my own forms of bias and expertise not influence.
But if I ever get cast in a period piece, I will attempt to do my lazy ass research.
Yeah, well,
the laziest research one can do.
I do like it when people have time appropriate teeth, and I think Jennifer Jason Leigh definitely hit that one out of the ballpark in the crazy time sensitive or appropriate teeth.
Sure,
she sure did.
Yeah, the kind of teeth your character would have.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Again, the podcast Anna Faris. Is unqualified. It is really fun. It's intimate. I don't know that you could get the same result if it wasn't in Anna's house in her living room with a bunch of deer heads.
It's weird.
Hovering above your shoulder and having a little vino and enjoying that environment.
Well, thanks. I have to urinate.
Oh, okay.
Perfect but I timing. Also, I want to ask you when I get back from that process, how you think I can attract more male listeners?
All right.
Because we have a nice amount of listeners. A lot of them are women, though. How do we get more of the men?
Okay. So I think I can tie this into your urination.
Okay. Oh, good.
All right. You head toward the ladies' room.
Okay, but you're
Gary,
not
fire
give me-
up the nanny cam in the ladies' room. Because we're going to go viral here.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take an extra 2 minutes. And she's wearing overalls.
Make sure you use the ladies' room. And there's two light switches. Make sure they're both on. And don't mind the one that's on the floor. I just want you to plug that one in if you could. It's a mechanics light.
Okay, listen. Don't talk shit about me while I'm gone.
No.
No, I mean it.
We won't
Gina,
talk
you got
number
my back.
Two yeah, when I'm you're going number one. Gary, fire up the cam.
They'll never do it.
Thank you.
Oh, thank God she's gone.
Oh, she's taking her drink.
Oh yeah, we gotta get a refill there. All right, isn't she delight?
She's amazing.
Isn't it nice when people are as they seem or as they come across?
Can you be best friends with them?
I'm gonna do that.
I think you should.
I'm gonna work on that. I really,
please, for all of us.
I really had a great time over at their house, and now I'm having a better time even here. So we'll do the news. I'll tell you what. Why don't you got the news fired up there, right? Right? Okay. All right. Shall we do a little news? And by the way, I want to thank my wife and the crew
the
everybody
crawl.
Who went out. And Teresa Strasser came out. Everyone who came out and supported. And my wife said everyone is great. They had an excellent time. And it's all good stuff. I didn't get that.
I didn't hear that.
No.
Actually.
No.
Yeah,
quite
I didn't hear that.
Actually.
Kind of
no.
Opposite, right?
I don't know if Lynette was... There.
I saw a picture of her in tea with Chris, so I don't know if she was there for the performance. Lynette does tend to show up a few minutes late to these things, but Chris...
You better watch it.
You're lucky enough. Here's the glasses
Nick
there.
Nick was there.
Nick was there. All right.
What was the question about Lynette? I was
did she take in the Chris Maxipata performance?
Yep, she made it on. She was there on time, and she made it till I think the third bar out of four.
Ooh.
And then to...
So she almost completed her event.
Yeah. It's like a Dodgers fan.
I mean, to be fair, about 85% of the people only made it to the third bar.
Okay.
It was
the Mangria. It'll knock you off your feet. Literally, she like rolled her ankle.
A Mangriathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, it's a Mangriathon. Yeah, Anna's enjoying her Mangria as well.
I want to be a part of a Mangriathon.
All right, next local one. We'll definitely have you out. All right, where were we? Let's do. So thank Lynette and thank you guys for doing a great job, and we'll keep you abreast of the next one, and I don't know when the next one's coming up, but we'll let you know.
Follow Bruce's concert schedule, and you'll get a good idea where the next one will be.
Rumor has it maybe in April, maybe along with one of the live dates up there on your screen.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode of Cruel Classics, but tune in tomorrow and subscribe to the Cruel Classics feed to get our Sunday episodes, and we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana, that's Superfan Giovanni.
And get it on.
All this month, celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with Pluto TV. Watch movies with the biggest stars like Eugenio Derbez in No Eres Tú, Soy Yo, and Luis Gerardo Méndez in Camino a Marte. Plus, Pluto TV has thousands more movies and TV shows and over 45 channels in Spanish, all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming today. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.